They're called Roadside Bomb, and they improv a protest cabaret and poetry slam at Valentine's Coffee House in Old Town the second Tuesday of each month. On October the 3rd of this year, under their previous name, Out Loud Radical Poets, they were featured by Barbara Lamorticella and Walt Curtis on KWU's Monday night spoken arts program, The Talking Earth. This audio stream does include some raw language.
Welcome to Roadside Bomb. We're going to read some anti-war poetry, sing an anti-war poem, song, and stuff like that. I'm Fred. That's Dwayne. That's Patricia. That's Wayne over there. That's Bob over there. He's got a counter. I'm going to get us rolling with a couple things. Leanne Grable sends out a poem once a week. Let's see. This came out some time ago. So I can see the light. It's called He Stripped That Away by Gerda Penfold. Here's what she wrote about Karl Rove and the other pricks who continue to amaze us all in their pompous and nauseating inhumanity. That's Leanne. He stripped that away. The obsessions that possessed him as he became famous and more famous, capturing on canvas the precise transparency sheer over a shoulder, the soft velvet cascade over the round swell of the breast, the delicate oval of the face, the stance, firm-footed, the crab posture, the hair, a tumble of curls, the quality of the eyes, all so lovely, so real, so alive, they applauded and applauded. Their money flowed into his hands. Then he stripped away all that, tore off the treasures, peeled it off. To below the precious appearances, he stripped away the prickiness, the frills, the little medals, the delicate parasols, the ornate buckles on the shoes, the poised fans flickering the sweet surface charms, slammed the door in all the drawing rooms and went to where the place where the blood is, the killing floor, where helpless humans throw their arms up, open mouths that are riddled with bullets, where the bull lies in the blood while El Matador bows in his exquisite costume to the roaring crowd. In his last and later years, Goya painted human bats, flapping like phantoms through the thick air of ignorance. He painted monsters with a taste for flesh. He painted greed. He painted raving appetites. He painted coils of ambition. He painted maggots crawling on the faces of the powerful. That was meant by Gerda Penfold. And you might ask Leanne who the hell that is. She's there. And here's a poem about Here's a poem about Iraq. It's called Dead, and it's by Mark Messenger. We had every kind of death in Nam. Fast dead, near dead, fucking dead, point blank dead, blown away dead, unconfirmed dead, confirmed dead, missing presumed dead, wish I was home or dead, dead warmed over, walking dead, deadhead, living dead, next to dead, in line for dead, deadheads, dead ends. In a word, you got tired of after a while, but you learned to live with it, in spite of yourself, part of the landscape, part of the dead you live among. Now, we generally kind of improvise who goes when. Who do we have who plans to perform besides us? Bob, you got something?
Me?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, do I have some what?
Some poetry to read.
Just a minute. I was not exactly poetry, I'm just wondering, like, there's not so war, there's not so much war, Vietnam War, Korean War, World War II, the Contra War, the Iraqi War I and Iraqi War II. How much of my consciousness and how much of my spirit and much of my mind is taken up by war? And what other things would I be thinking about, you know, intellectually, emotionally? What other things would have taken over my mind and spirit that it was not taken over by war and fighting against war and trying to work the Vietnam Veterans Peace Convoy down to Nicaragua and marches to Washington and New York and all this? If I had listened to KWU or WBAI or Amy Goodman, how many other things of beauty and life and music would my life have been if I had not been at war and fighting war? And yes, he left the squad base and thought we would not be good friends. Then he went and, well, this guy was cleaning his M16 But, you know, she left the cartridge in the chamber, and anybody in the neighborhood of rifles don't do that. He was cleaning his rifle and went off, had the magazine out, but it was around in the chamber, and went off, and my friend was quite scared to walk like this, and said, hurry. But then it was too late, and he was taken to L4, you know, just they take the medical. That's what they said today, to L4, logistics. Yeah, and the poetry, yes, the poetry going above your head. A rocket above you sounds like an organ, like a church organ in the sky. It really sounds like a church organ in the sky flying above you. But when it's coming down at you, it sounds like a steam engine, like coming right down at you, just about to wet yourself. Everything goes so limp. And talk about out of body, 50 feet up in the air. Yes, there is out of body experience. Yes, I know, there is a spirit, I know, but I was 50 feet above me, I was so damn scared. I could see myself down here in the sand. I could see the berm, the perimeter, the lookout tower, the Fuchs. And I was up there, 50 feet up, and I was so scared, looking down upon me. And now and then, at night, 3 o'clock in the morning, I can still hear that steam locomotive, that 5 foot high, 6 inch in diameter, hard, vicious, ugly, twisted metal, shrapnel, saved a piece of it. And when I came to that, I think I remember in high school English, reading about Raskolnikov after the action, but they didn't do that play up there. They did that play up there. They didn't have that part. They didn't have that part. But he's walking around St. Petersburg saying, don't you know everything is different? Looking at the fruit stands there on Coney Island Avenue and Avenue J and Brooklyn, and these people are just shopping for the best kind of fruit. And they don't you know everything is different? How can you be picking the best peach when 12,000 miles from here? But they, how can you just go about your business when? And that's what I felt like. Don't you know everything is different? And when these people come home, they will look at me. When these people, and now in Iraq, and now when they come home and they will catch me and they will say, but you're an adult. Didn't you know you're supposed to be an adult? You're supposed to be conscious. Didn't you know to do something to stop my being there in Iraq? And so now I'm the people that I hated. Because I was the good German and I knew, and they are there. I tried to do something to stop it, but maybe not enough. Forgive me.
Well, Duane here has written a song. We changed our name from Out Loud to Roadside Bomb about a month ago. And in honor of that, Duane wrote a song called Roadside Bomb. And he's now going to play it for us.
I'm going to play it, and I'd like people to sing along.
Sing along. It's a
single.
Probably not
going to need this, but I've only got a few of them, and I need one for a cheat sheet because I kind of have a track. It's called Roadside Bomb. And the chorus, I want people to sing along with that. I'll say the first verse, and then it's just real simple, almost no melody. So,
the road in the bank that everything was calm. Sarge said it looks like the enemy is gone. Walked the walk from must have been a roadside bomb. Must have been a roadside bomb.
So just sing along with the roadside bomb part, and I'll sing the verses.
Carl, Dick, George, with smug satisfaction, came into town with their roadside attraction, doing their dog and pony, doing their dance and song.
I heard it was a roadside bomb. I guess it was a roadside bomb.
date for you to try to make some change. But at the polling station, it sure looks strange. A line of brown faces, seven blocks long. It must have been a roadside bomb. It must have been a roadside bomb. Must have been a roadside, must have been a blind side. Must have been a roadside bomb. Must have been a roadside bomb. We went through the streets to raise our voices, assert our rights and defend our choices. But the cops came by and said, you better move along. Must have been a roadside bomb. Must have been a roadside bomb. And no place to turn. I think there's a lesson I'm starting to learn. It's time to speak up. It's time to stand strong. I'm gonna be a roadside bomb. I'm gonna be a roadside bomb. I'm gonna be a roadside. I'm gonna be a blind side.
Of Indian Fevers. And I can read here.
It helps to stand on the chair.
Okay. Okay. This is called Statue of Liberty. Wondrous woman, Eurydice will not do so do to compare you to. Your myth isn't current or primal. An androgynous scorpion with mothering claws and stinger behind, you wrench the victims from the dry loins of earth and unject their dazzled brains with the harsh flame of hope. Cold, worn gears whine inside your bronzed vulva and brown and dark bodies are dropped to the tired sea like legions of smiling boys, but they bob toward the cruel illusion we choose to call freedom. But beyond that gleeful yammer, I can hear faint clicking sounds filling the awkward gaps in their prayers of thanks. When I listen closely, I don't hear the midnight ride of Paul Revere, but ghosts of dead tribes bone singing under concrete. And this is a little quartet of poems I wrote called Drums. One, the patriot goes to war. America, go! America, go! Kick the terrorist butt. Two, the patriot comes home. Camera zooms in, a close up. He tips his camouflage cap askew, military debonair. I want you to know the USA is not a nation of cowards. I want you to know every day I risk my life. I put my balls on the line for you, protecting your freedom, preserving your right to throw your tantrums in the street, to sit on your butt while I, God-fearing American hero, shovel your shit, walk into the fire for you. I gladly terminate 1,000 terrorists, kill commies by the crap load, scalp a whole tribe of heathens, torch their teepees, just so you pathetic pussies can pound your drums for peace. Go ahead, nail me to your fucking cross. It's your right. Three, weddings of mass destruction. Yes, sir, it's the truth, I swear, and nothing but. They were scattered everywhere, leftovers from the party, the fragments of a veil. The general said bad guys had parties too. The fragment of a veil, the punctured skin of a doombeck, lifeless as a child among the debris, frets of some musical instrument. I don't know what it was, sir. Its strings dangled like the detached tendons on the musician's severed hand, still reverberating a wedding song for terrorists. The general said, so clever, these Arabs. Had to get them before they folded up their tents, took their wedding dance to Baghdad. Doombeck's more deadly than a warhead filled with sarin. Four, drums. Dear Mom and Dad, bugs. There are bugs everywhere. In the sand, in my socks, and hot, you can barely stand the heat. In my dreams, I hear the drums of the seven clans. Is it a mirage, Dad, that you always called me your little warrior? So here I am in this desert. The path to Baghdad is blood red. Shipping out, I saw a sign. No blood for oil, but here they say blood is oil. My buddy was killed by friendly fire, an artery severed. Terrorists blew up the pipeline, carrying the blood to the Gulf, where they put it in drums for America. The path to Kuwait is black oil, black blood drums in my veins. Wado for your letter, Mom. I'm sorry to hear about Uncle. He should have told us he couldn't afford the heart medication. Please give my respects, your loving son.
Okay, here's a couple more from this anthology. It's called From Both Sides Now. I lied when I said it was about Iraq. It was about Vietnam. It's called, subtitled, The Poetry of the Vietnam War and Its Aftermath. This one's by George Hitchcock, who is the greatest found poet in American history. He had a magazine of found poetry called Kayak in the 60s and 70s. This one, though, is not found. Well, he found it inside his own head, I think. Okay, it's called Scattering Flowers. It has an epigraph by President Johnson. It is our best and prayerful judgment that they, the air attacks on North Vietnam, are a necessary part of the surest road to peace. There is a dark tolling in the air, an unbearable needle in the vein, the horizon flaked with feathers of rust. From the caves of drugged flowers, fireflies rise through the night and bear the sweet gospel of napalm. Democracies of flame are declared in the villages. The rice fields seethe with blistered reeds. Children stand somnolent in their crutches. Freedom, a dancing girl, lifts her petticoats of gasoline, and on the hot sand of a deserted beach, a wild horse struggles, choking in the noose of diplomacy. Now, in their cane chairs, the old men who listen for the bitter wind of bullets spread on their thighs maps, portfolios, legends of hair, and photographs of dark Asian youths who are already dissolving into broken water. A lot of Canadians fought in Vietnam. And this one is called Corporal Charles Chung Tu. USMC. It's by Brian Alec Floyd. This is what the war ended up being about. We would find a VC village, and if we could not capture it or clear it of Kong, we called for jets. The jets would come in, low and terrible, sweeping down and screaming in their first path over the village. Then they would return, dropping their first bombs that flattened the huts to rubble and debris, and then the jets would sweep back again and drop more bombs that blew the rubble and debris to dust and ashes. And then the jets would come back once again in a last pass, this time to drop napalm that burned the dust and ashes to just nothing. Then the village, that was not a village anymore, was our village. It's all pretty grim.
So, I think that humor is very necessary, and I'm going to read a couple of poems by Marty Christensen, who is a local poet. the forward to this book, which is a, I think it's pretty much a complete works at this point. It's by Gus Van Sant, and who apparently really likes his work, and I think he's really good. And I heard him read once, and really, it's a pretty amazing guy. Just a little guy who looks like he's maybe three sheets to the wind most of the time, but his poetry is really marvelous. And the first poem is, these are very short, The Wrong Profession. I'm tired of being an insane poet. I want to drive around in a big cigar. And the second one is, God must exist, for this car filled with lunatics has not been built by human hands. And then he, this was called Revisionism. Forgive my paranoia of last night. There is nothing wrong with John Quincy Adams or anything suspicious in the fact that he was born in Quincy, Massachusetts. So, anyway. I'm going to read a poem called The Hungry Circus, which is pretty much about the disintegrating world. And you take that for whatever you want it to mean. There were five of them, which was three more than I was expecting. Five misfortunes, five round stones, five jagged pieces of broken glass, five brothers dressed in black, five angels sitting on my couch. Call them what you will. Call them what I might. No amount of sorcery, of cunning words could put them back harmless. If only I believed in God, now I could lose faith, now I could lose hope. I was expecting two things, that Strabo would lose his ability to charm me, and that I would become a featureless, middle-aged woman, rapidly descending into the anonymity of park benches. What happened was this. Strabo did not cease to charm me, and middle age passed me before I could understand what it was all about, and decrepitude hit me at the same time as the bomb started falling. I was expecting two things, that the river would reach flood stage and rip my ex-husband's houseboat loose from its moorings, and that Celilo Falls would be resurrected in time to dash it to bits at the bottom of the cataract. I was expecting to win the lottery. And after that, I would sleep on a volume of Ulysses and wake up able to read it straight through, driven by a passionate longing to know the outcome of the next sentence, paragraph, chapter. What happened was this. The forest outside my window burst spontaneously into flames, and a 12-year-old boy started visiting me every night, climbing into my bed, so that I had to sit sleepless on the couch for weeks and watch 60-foot Douglas fir explode, scattering sparks after having. Bombs were falling. The sound was deafening. I might have lost my hearing, and there were three more things to come, three more ravens to sit in the watching bird tree, watching the street for roadkill and popcorn, shiny black iridescent feathers, glinting green and blue, shouting to their society from the wires, balancing like Strabo the Magnificent, walking over conversations effortlessly, thoughtlessly, waiting for death to beat them. You should have seen Strabo that night on the rope, performing without pole, dancing. The rope was wire thin. Our eyes would not leave him. We thought at first he would not go. We thought he would stand on the platform all night. Did he look frightened? Who could tell? So far up there near the peak of the tent that his face was a smooth blue circle in the beam of the spotlight. Foolish old mothers with our brats climbing over our laps, they ran away into the night waving the banner of their disenchantment like a declaration of freedom. But there we were, stuck to the bleachers, riveted, Strabo dancing on that wire. Even now, through the bombs and the screams of civilization dying, I can see him lift up his hand to a woman whose face only he can see, whose form only he can hold. I see him ease into a death-defying tango. The others will tell you this did not happen. They will deny the end of the dance, but this, I tell you, did happen. Strabo danced into the open air, through the vent in the tent he must have. He did not fall. He did not descend. He vanished. I don't know how long the bombs have been falling. I know that I am deaf. The boy doesn't come any longer. But I still sit on the couch. The forest is all in ashes around the house. Maybe there were more than five things, maybe less. How am I to be expected to count them now? I have better things to do with my time. I will hold the five stones in my mouth all at once. I frequently argue with the angels about how many pins can fit in their heads. I would marry five brothers if they would have a life crown, and they'd be lucky to get it. The rest is all glass.
Okay, we have a slender lineup tonight. Heidi's sick. Denise is down on Ricky Wilson's cafe in Tucson. Ethan Place went to Palestine to stand in front of Palestinians. And Casey Cole went back to the needle.
Heidi's
our star. I thought I'd try another one of these. Adrian Lewis. Poems. Didn't bring the Burt Reynolds poem. Okay, I guess the only thing you need to know is that the Indian name of Crazy Horse was Tasumke Witko. It's called Verdell's View of Crazy Horse. Inside the post office, a poster displays new stamps, romantic Indian war bonnets in hues never seen by our ancestors. Outside, bruised and bumbling, Unseca winos trod by with hefty bags full of flattened beer cans. On dilapidated Main Street, moans of Christmas carols curiously float from Big Bat's Conoco station and Minimart. In a frozen fissure on the uplifted pavement, an empty crack vial sleeps. Grandfather, can this plastic clue to unhappiness be anything else but our own fault? Despite the fact that the outside world now haunts this nation with white man dreams, it's really like my friend Verdell always says, Sumke Witko was murdered that day at Fort Robinson. The last living free Indian died. Thanks. Jay got here. Jay, have you got something for us? Where is he? Is he in the bathroom? Where'd he go? We're done.
The Roadside Bombs troupe includes Fred Nemo, Heidi X, Anais LaRue, Chula, Patricia McLean, and Dwayne Ponce. Their Veterans Day Eve anti-fascist pro-humanity cabaret ended a little after 9. I'm Glenn Owen, Cable Web Weekend News and Public Affairs.